and my unemployment didn't last very long. So I immediately got a call. It was suggested to me that I go to City Hall and interview the lady that most likely would be elected mayor, and that was Susan Savage. And so after she was elected, I went to work for her and stayed there for 10 years.
Which could be a whole another story, I suppose.
Not as interesting as all the journalists. I mean, it's interesting. There are things that people will find it interesting, but the days of writing about criminals and organized criminals was much more intriguing.
But then you walked into that world of an elected position working for Susan Savage as the mayor. You became the target of media and newspapers.
Right.
Like you were reporting on these other people.
That's correct.
So did you... wait a minute. They're coming after me or reporting on me.
So I wanted, one of the first things I wanted to do was I wanted to know what they wanted to know. And I made it known that if they were interested, I would leak stories. I'd do anything as long as it helped the administration. And they needed to know that. And I also made myself very available with my restrictions. Like, sometimes it was simple things. Like, I don't do stand-up interviews. I'm 5 feet. I'm too short. And so I always tell the TV crews, We're gonna sit out here in the lobby and do the interview, and this is gonna make us both look like we're about the same height, and they all got a kick out of that. And so, you know, but the sheer fact that, and you know this, having all your years in radio, the sheer fact that you know what it takes to do a story, you know, lugging around those cameras, the lighting, the location, that sort of thing, giving them short, quick responses so they can, unlike this where you're kind of rambling, but quick that they could make a tape out of, that's what they wanted. And so you tried to give them that to make their job easier.
At the Tulsa World would be covering you, and so that was a different interview.
Yeah, but I had never written about, and that proved to be good because I had not written about the courthouse. I think I wrote one story about the courthouse, all these judges, but I did not go to City Hall. First time I had, other than to pay my water bill, to go to City Hall was when I went there to interview with Susan.
There will be those students who are listening to your story
okay. In
journalism. They want to be writers. Lots of opportunities to be writers these days because we have online and newspapers. What kind of advice would you give them?
Learn everything. Just be a consumer of all information. And don't get tied to one thing. I remember early on, someone asked me, how many newspapers did I read every day? And I think the lowest, it was maybe 5. And I said, and they'd say, well, which ones? And it's not just the New York Times and Washington Post. I mean, it's the Atlanta Constitution. It's the Chicago Tribune. It's the Denver Post. It's the LA Times. I mean, to learn what is news in other parts of the country. And I think that more than anything to be a journalist is to be constantly curious and constantly learning. Don't get me wrong, 95% of what you're going to read, you're going to forget because it's crap. But there's 5% in there that you're going to really kind of find interesting.
But then, too, to read how these writers, particularly for the New York Times, how clever, how good they are. You're probably, they would learn from these great writers of not only that newspaper, but others as well.
Oh, definitely. I'm, you know, I had an experience. I went to the Democratic Presidential Convention in New York when President Carter was nominated. Unbeknownst to me, there was a man at the Senate Press Gallery who decided where all the press could sit, who had started his career at the Muskogee Phoenix. When he saw my name and the publication I was representing, he sat me next to R.W. Appel, the renowned national correspondent for the New York Times. And the Washington Post and the L.A. Times and everybody else were behind me. I had a front row seat. And I remember Mr. Appel saying, "Now, how the hell did you get up here?" We had a great conversations with him.
Because you were representing the
little, this little itty-bitty newspaper in Muskogee, Oklahoma, that the head of the Senate Press Gallery had started his career at.
But you lived in Washington, D.C. for a while, too, for the Tribune
sent me up there for a little over a year. I got to cover Iran-Contra, a variety of other things, and Senator Bourne was the senator, and Jim Inhofe was the congressman, and then later become senator. Don Nichols was the other U.S. senator.
Well, this has been fascinating. We've known each other for many, 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 many years, and our wives, Margaret and Kim.
Right.
All of this I did not know about you, except smatterings. You're not one to brag about it. You're not one to bring it up when I was there. I'm probably more braggadocious about what I did, but you didn't. And so I found this extremely fascinating.
Well, thank you.
And I thank you for doing it, because
I appreciate. I remember we were out on your boat down in Florida when you first were telling me about this idea to start doing these interviews. And, of course, our immediate conversation was, well, how are we going to pay? How are you going to pay for this? But the concept, the idea is so sound that I started the other day and finished it, the piece on Scott Amadou. And just, you know, we need to learn from people like that.
Right. And it's good to hear their voices. All right. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.